moms keep us grounded. And TV personality Tyra Banks takes on life with her mom as co-pilot. Tyra Banks is on The Morning Show with us as we celebrate all the wisdoms that moms impart on this world. Tyra Banks is a TV personality, producer, businesswoman, actress, former supermodel, and occasional singer. She's co-authored her new book with her dear mother, Carolyn London. The new book is titled Perfect is Boring, 10 Things My Crazy Fierce Mama Taught Me About Beauty, Booty, and Being a Boss. Tyra Banks, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Well, tell us about your mother, Carolyn London, and the two of you teaming up on this book. Did you find out more about her than you already knew about your mom?
I found out not necessarily more because my mom and I are so, so close. It's actually kind of what the book is about, that we actually have like this unique relationship. My mom found out is working with me and being on the other side and me being like, Mama, that line doesn't work. We have to change that. You know, so she found out a lot about me in an interesting way.
Tyra, the editor.
Exactly, because she was the person that guided me my entire career, and then it's flipped, and I'm the editor and saying, Mama, that's too long. Mama, we have to cut that. I know you love that line, but we have to take it away.
How did she do with that feedback?
She at first was like so mad because she would get these like, she would get inspired and she'd wake up in the middle of the night and write like 5 or 6 pages. And I'd say, Mama, these 5 or 6 pages are amazing. And you see that one sentence right there? That's the one line that I'm going to keep. And she would be so mad. But then she sees the book now and she, it's particular, there's one line in the book, there's one story in the book where I actually started my period, meaning my menstrual cycle, and I was scared to tell my dad. I was at my dad's house. My parents are divorced. And I started my menstrual cycle, and I call my mom, and I'm like, Mommy, oh, my God, I started my period, and I need you to come get me. I need you to come get me. Don't tell Daddy. Don't tell Daddy. And so then my mom sees me write that part, and then she writes 5 pages of, oh, my gosh, should I tell her dad or should I not? And I thought about it and da-da-da. And then I just decided, you know, I'm going to pick up the phone, and I ended up telling her dad. Just 5 pages. I looked at that. I took one line that says, so I called him. And that's all I used right there.
Well, you also talk about the...
And then so I called him. That's all you needed. And it's funnier and it's punchier. So those types of things are going on.
And your mother also threw you a party at this occasion.
Yes. We talk about it in the book. My mom threw me a period party. Because when she started her period, her mother just told her one thing, which was, you're a woman now. And that's it. And she was like, what does that mean? She was so confused. She had no idea what any of it meant or what to do. And she said that she did not want that to happen to her daughter. So she threw me a period party and invited my friends and took everyone through all of the sanitary napkins and tampons and talked about cleanliness and, you know, everything. It was kind of the weirdest, wackiest party in the world.
And who knew it would one day... Who knew it one day would be a chapter in a book?
Who knew that? That's what's so crazy. Exactly.
Tyra, what do you mean by perfect is boring? Where did that lesson come from?
That lesson actually came from my mom. So when I was growing up, I was very insecure. I was 90-something pounds and 5'9". I'm 5'10 and 3/4 now. But when I was younger, I was 5'9 and 98 pounds. And there was nothing that I could do to gain weight. I looked awkward. I had a big forehead. It was just not a good time in my life. And I would cry to my mom about it, and my mom would tell me that perfect is boring and that every woman peaks at different times in her life. Some women peak at junior high school, and they're their most beautiful then. Some are at 10 years old, some at 40 years old. And I just hadn't found my time yet. But in that anyway, perfect is boring. Hi, boo-boo. This is my son saying, hi, Mom. Hi, pumpkin. Sorry.
That's okay.
Two-year-old son. And so as I got older, it's just something that would reoccur in my life. I remember in the movie Life Size with Lindsay Lohan, I played a doll that comes to life, and she tells my character, perfect is boring. I remember being on Top Model in season 1 of Top Model. I had one of my models just feeling that she needed to be like just the epitome of perfection, and I told her, perfect is boring. You know, it's just that we as a society, I think my mom says, we have this yardstick that says, like, this is beauty, and it has to measure this way. And my mom's like, no, beauty is unique, interesting, different. We don't have to be in this cookie cutter. And when it does look like a cookie cutter, it looks predictable, and it looks boring. And that's anything in life. Businesses, I mean, you have to, like, run your business tight. But when businesses show that they are human and, you know, and organic, and, you know, that stuff becomes more exciting. So in general, yeah, just perfect is boring.
You share this experience when you talk about weight gain early in your modeling career and about modeling agencies that told you to lose weight. And then your mom takes you out for pizza. Can you talk about that moment?
Yeah, my Italian modeling agency called my mom into the office when we were in Italy during Fashion Week many, many years ago, and said that he had to tell me something, and he showed to tell my mom something, and he showed her a list of 8 very top Italian designers that did not want to hire me anymore that season because I had started to gain weight, started to develop hips and boobs and thighs, and they didn't want to work with me anymore. And he was like, you know, Carolina, you know, they do not want to hire Tyra. And last season it was 4 fashion shows. This season it is 8 fashion shows. Next season will be 16 fashion shows. You see how the math is going. You have to tell your baby, you know, she is going to be a star, and she will not be a star if this continues. So my mom takes the paper to me and shows it to me at our hotel, and I just proceed to cry and break down and think that I need to lose weight and work out 3 times a day. And my mom says, you know what we have to do? And I'm like, what, hit the gym? And she's like, no, we're going to go get pizza. And over a big, big pizza in Italy, on a table that had butcher paper on it, she put a pen in my hand, and she told me to write down every client in the industry that likes ass. And she says, your ass. Because I'll be damned if my baby starves for this industry. So through tears, I write down Victoria's Secret, and she's like, yes, write it down. And then I'm like, Sports Illustrated, and she's like, yes, write it down. And then she's like, now who has an ass? I'm like, Cindy Crawford? She's like, yes, write it down. And she's like, that's the career that you're going to mirror, and those are your new future clients. Now it's just up to you to make it happen.
And
we did.
Tyra Banks, what advice do you have for people who struggle with body image and self-acceptance?
I tell them to, and I talk about this in the book a bit, I tell them to, it's easy for somebody to say, love yourself, and, you know, you're beautiful, and love yourself, and those are just words. Like, what does that really mean, and how do you put that into action? My mom taught me, like, during that time when I felt very insecure, that every woman, every man has something that is beautiful about them. And they have to find it, and they need to look in that mirror and find it. It could be your hair. It could be your eyelashes. It could be your eyebrows. It could be your earlobes. It could be your tattoos. It could be your nails. It could be the arch in your feet. Find that one thing and adore that and celebrate that. And then the next month or 2 or 3 or the next year, stare in that mirror again and find something else. It's a process, and we have to celebrate the things about us that are unique and beautiful.
Well, speaking of hair, when you first auditioned to be a Victoria's Secret angel, the stylist didn't know how to do your black hair, and your hair ended up a mess. You didn't get the job. So can you talk about that experience and how your mom pushed you to advocate for yourself in that situation?
Yeah, so I got the opportunity, because I called my agent and said, okay, my mom told me to come up with clients that like curves. You know, I want to work for Victoria's Secret, and I ended up being able to work for them. But my very first day on set, the hairdresser did not know what to do with my African-American textured hair, had no idea, and was adding water and doing all kind of crazy stuff that just made it look pretty crazy. And so I get on set, everybody on set's looking at me and, like, kind of not making eye contact with me and going, ooh, she looks kind of crazy. I could see it in the photographer's eyes. And they ended up sending me home without doing pictures, really. And I was so depressed and so sad. And a year went by where I was just like, what's going on? This was my opportunity. This was my future. And this is such a huge opportunity, and it's gone. And I just remember my mom's words, you know, of like, you know, don't give up, don't give up. And so I was like, Mom, okay, can you call my agency and tell them to call Victoria's Secret back and tell them that it wasn't my fault, that it was the hair, it was my hair, it was my hair. And my mom said, okay. So my mom calls my modeling agent. The phone starts ringing. The agent answers the phone. My mom throws the phone in my lap and runs out the room and closes the door. She made me do it, and I was freaking out. So my voice is shaking, and I'm telling my agent to call them back, to call them back. And my agent's like, it's done, it's done. You were sent home so long ago, it's over. And I just begged and convinced them to do it, and I got a second chance. But this time, my mom always talks about being prepared, doing your homework, doing all the work you need to do. So the night before that Victoria's Secret comeback day, I had my hairdresser that does my hair, Oscar James, came to my house. He washed, conditioned, blow-dried, and flat-ironed my hair, and I wrapped it in a scarf and went to sleep with that scarf on, almost like where I didn't sleep because I did not want that scarf to come off. That morning, I woke up. I yanked that scarf off my head. My hair looked Victoria's Secret ready. I go into that job, didn't let the hairdresser really touch me, let the makeup artist do my makeup, but went to the bathroom and redid my makeup, added extra lip gloss, came on set, and rocked it. Cut to a 10-year contract. And I was the first black model on the cover of the Victoria's Secret catalog. I was the first black model to be a Victoria's Secret angel. I was the first black model to have a Victoria's Secret contract. I was the first black model to wear the Victoria's Secret fantasy bra. And then I wore it again years later. And it all goes back to that moment of me taking control of my destiny and saying, I'm going to call this client back and damn near beg myself back into those doors and then make sure that my hair was on point.
Sage advice from Tyra Banks and her mother. They're out with a book. Her mother says, you can't protect your children from everything. You've got to let them bump into walls sometimes because that's the only way they're going to learn. The book is called Perfect is Boring. Tyra Banks stays with us here in the morning show. You can join in with your mother's words of wisdom. 800-642-1234. What valuable lessons do you want your children to understand? What questions do you have for Tyra Banks? Call in, tweet us, WPR Mornings. We'll be back for more Tyra in just a moment here on the Ideas Network. More words of wisdom from Tyra Banks' mother. Quote, it's easy to say woe is me and go back to bed. It's comfortable and cozy in those flannel sheets where you get to just blame other people for everything that's going wrong in your life. It's harder to get up and fight when life's drama stares you in the face. Tyra Banks is with us. The new book is Perfect is Boring. What words of wisdom have passed down to you from your mother? Do you take on the word with a rock of a parent, or who is at your side? Call in 800-642-1234. Tweet us at WPR Mornings. Let's go to Marcus now, joining us from Milwaukee. Hi, Marcus.
Hi. Tyra, I just want to say thank you because I tell my daughter almost every single day, I'm a single father. My daughter is mixed, and I tell her almost every single day that to love herself and that I love her and, you know, that there's so many beautiful things about her. And I tell her, I saw it on one of your episodes of Next Top Model, and I forget exactly how you phrased it, but I tell her that advice every single day. So thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. And give your daughter a big hug and kiss from me.
Marcus, thanks. Tyra, in the book, you detail the decision over whether to pursue college versus going to Paris to model. What was your mother's role in this decision?
My mother's role was a lot less than I would have liked it to be. I asked her what I should do when I was faced with the opportunity to go to Paris to model. I was kind of rediscovered by a French agent that said, we want her in Paris, we want her there in 2 weeks, and we want her to do French Fashion Week. I also had college waiting for me, ready to start in 2 weeks to study film and television production. And I said, Mama, what should I do? I have both of these two amazing opportunities. Please tell me what to do. And she says, I'm not going to tell you what to do. This is your decision. And that was just so hard for me. I just didn't know what to do. In the end, I said, okay, I can go back to college. I can give Paris 1 year, and I can always come back to college. But this opportunity for Paris won't always be there, and I made that decision on my own. In the end, it was a good decision, but I was so mad at my mom at the time for not making it for me.
Was there ever a moment that you regretted that choice?
You know, I don't talk about this in the book, but there was a moment when I was a supermodel, very successful, 4 years later, and my friends were graduating from Loyola Marymount University, and that was the college that I was going to go to. And I had a stomach ache, and when I say stomach ache in quotes, and couldn't go to their graduation. I was so hurt that I wasn't graduating with them, I pretended to have a stomach ache so I didn't have to go. I was just like, whoa, I know I'm a successful supermodel, but I really wanted to go to college, and I really wanted to, you know, produce television and create television ideas and do that.
And you have.
And I have years later. So I got to do that years later, and I got to go to a business school program at Harvard Business School years later. So I feel very fulfilled that it just came decades later.
And it came through a different path than the traditional path.
Yes, you mean me going to school?
Right. I mean, because you got these life experiences before you, you know, really set into the college campus situation.
Exactly. So I went to a program at Harvard Business School called the Owner President Management Program. Some people liken it to like an executive MBA, but you get a Harvard certificate, and when you complete, you're a Harvard alum after. And it's over the course of 3 years, and you go to school for 3 weeks at a time. You live in the dorms. You go to school Monday through Saturday, and it's very intensive studying about business. And so, you know, I used all of the knowledge that I already had as a natural businesswoman with those classes and that course, and it really changed my life. I mean, I have friends forever from that, and now I mentor people and mentor models based on everything that I learned there. And now I teach personal branding at Stanford Business School. So, you know, went from, you know, not going to college to doing my Harvard courses to now teaching at business school at Stanford.
Let's bring in Michelle now, joining us from Eau Claire. Hi, Michelle.
Hi. Hello.
Go ahead.
Hi, thanks. I just wanted to say that I really appreciate you sort of advocating for women in this sort of political and social climate we have, and little girls. I have a little girl of my own. But I called in because I really feel a connection also in terms of the way that my mother handled independence and autonomy and confidence. I was born with a cleft lip, and so sort of I have this really obvious physical characteristic that people notice right away. And because I was a military brat, I had to meet new people all the time. Every 2 years we moved. And so I was introducing myself to new kids. And rather than wait until the bullying sort of started, if it would have, my mother taught me to just be very honest and upfront with people and sort of introduce myself along with, also, you know, I know that you've probably noticed this, and I was born with this cleft lip. And it just kind of gave me, it empowered me, really, to, you know, assert who I was immediately and get it out of the way. And honestly, I really wasn't bullied because of it at all. And I think that was part of it. And it just kind of set the groundwork for me as an adult to also take control of my life and my physicality. And it empowered me to move past that sort of thing and feel beautiful, honestly, because it really was a non-issue. So,
Michelle, thank you. Yeah, thank you for bringing your story. And Tyra...
Yeah, well, that's really touching. Really, really, really touching and empowering.
And your mom writes that she didn't let you buy into the idea that a model is just a pretty face. How did she help keep you grounded?
Yeah, my mom, you know, a couple of things. She kept me grounded by saying, like, yeah, people are saying, oh, yeah, Tyra or Tira, what they call you in Paris and Italy, is the new hot thing, and you're on all the runways and magazine covers. But that's the thing. That's what you do. That's not who you are. And when you come home, you are my daughter. We still are going to go to the barbecue. You still are going to wash dishes. You still are going to, you know, to this day, I know how to clean a house. I know how to clean a toilet. I know, you know, if I lost everything, I still would know how to take care of myself and my son. it wouldn't be like this crazy panic. And that's because of the things that my mom instilled in me. And then also on the business side of that, you know, she said, you're a product. It's not you. So when they say that you need to lose weight or you need to, your hair is this, that your body is this, know that they're talking about a product separated from who you are, your spirit and your being. And you can do two things. You can tweak your product or you can tweak your audience. Tweak your product means gain weight, lose weight, change your hair, do what you need to do, or new audience. They say you need to lose weight. Screw that. Find a new audience that appreciates the butt that you have and the curves that you have. And so that was what she told me. And so I think it helped me to stay sane in an industry that can kind of make you insane by me thinking of myself as a product and not as them talking about Tyra the human being.
And you're a mom now to a son. What lessons from your mom are a must to pass on to him?
I think I need to be super honest with him like my mom was to me. There were no taboo topics. I can ask my mom anything. And even when I wasn't asking, she was, you know, offering very, very raw and real and unfiltered things to me that would make me blush. But in the end, gave me the tools to deal in a life where my friends were getting drunk and high and doing all kind of stuff. And I didn't, because it wasn't taboo for me to ask my mom and talk about these types of things. So it made that world and all of those things less enticing and interesting to me. And so I want to be able to have that open relationship with my son. Of course, he's not going to tell me every single thing, but I want him to feel safe enough to feel that if he wanted to, he could.
Well, before we let you go, Nikki in Fremont is one of your thinks of you as a role model. Nikki, hi, go ahead. Are you there, Nikki?
Hi. I'm here. Yep. Oh, Tyra, you have been a role model of mine for so long. In high school, I followed you all the time. I remember I used to write into your show. I was going through some medical issues. I used to write into your show all the time. You're so inspirational to me. I feel so blessed right now to even have a chance to tell you the impact you had on my life. But I also wanted to share, unfortunately, my mother, we don't have the best relationship, but my dad has passed, and he was my best friend my whole life. And he really, really, the main thing he instilled in me is treat others the way you want to be treated. And it's so simple, but for me, I try to live by that, and it enables me to live happier. I try not to hold grudges. When someone isn't treating others the way they want to be treated, I've been there, and they're probably unhappy or they're going through something. Just that simple, treat others the way you want to be treated, goes a long way for me. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Thank you so much.
And what a lovely lesson to end on, treat others the way you want to be treated.
Yes.
Well, Tyra, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. This has been so nice, and I really appreciate everyone calling in. You guys kind of made me tear up here on the phone, so thank you so much.
Tyra Banks' new book is Perfect is Boring, 10 Things My Crazy Fierce Mama Taught Me About Beauty, Booty, and Being a Boss. Tyra Banks created and hosts the reality TV show America's Next Top Model, which is in its 24th season. She was the first African-American model to be featured on the cover of Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue, and we've been talking about the advice that mothers share, the bold, the beautiful, the sass, all of it. You can join in now at 800-642-1234. What has your mother taught you? What sticks with you? Call in, tweet us at WPR Mornings. The producers on The Morning Show have been pounding the pavement, gathering up amazing stories about moms and the wisdom that they share. Keely Boltina is here in the studio to dish out all of this mom goodness. Keely, thanks for coming in.
Good morning, Kate.
Where are we going first?
Well, we know that there's no one who loves you and what you do quite like your parents. This hour, we're really focusing on mom. And Tyra Banks isn't the only big name to acknowledge that her mom has played a really big part in her life. Let's start first with Diane Keaton.
The two of us were partners in life. My mother really was this person who was in love with my aspirations. So she was the person who I would design my clothes when I was a teenager, and she would actually make them for me. She was an unusual mother in that regard. I was the firstborn, but I was never treated like what you imagine the firstborn daughter is treated like, another mother, you know? No. It was like she couldn't have been more excited by anything I was excited by.
Oh, I love that. And it's just, and then you can see it too in how Diane Keaton plays her roles as well. You can see those influences there.
I certainly think it has an effect beyond those takeaways, the one-liners that we can take from our parents. It really filters into life.
And we want to hear from you. How has your mom supported you? What was the biggest lesson your mom taught you? How did it affect how you thought about yourself? How has it affected who you are today? Moms, what lessons do you try to impart on your children? 800-642-1234. You can email ideas@wpr.org. Let's turn to a lesson from the mom of one of the network producers here, Brianne Chasso, on her mom, Cindy.
The biggest lesson I've learned from my mom, Cindy, is about kindness, about doing the little things, about going the extra mile for people. Time and time and time again, I've heard from community members, from her coworkers, from longtime friends, and even from the cashier at our bank about the little things she does to make people's lives better. I think it's so easy to let those little details that often mean so much slip, and she doesn't do that. Life is too short not to be kind. And if I'm even half as kind as she is, I would count that as one of my biggest successes.
I like that Brianne helps us better understand how our moms are not just our moms. I think sometimes we put them into boxes and think, well, this is their job, right? They take care of us. They make sure our clothes is clean. They shuffle us to and from places. And so I love that Brianne helps us understand that once we go to school or work, our moms are real people and they interact with other real people. And that's a critical aspect to being a mom.
Well, now let's hear about going beyond the golden rule. Here's Brianna of St. Paul, Minnesota.
We've all heard of the golden rule, treat others the way that you want to be treated. But my mom, growing up, she always taught me and my two siblings to follow the platinum rule, which actually is to treat others the way they want to be treated. And it has made an immense impact on my entire life. And the example I like to use is, say you're someone who wants to have a surprise party, but you never had one, no one ever threw one for you, so you decide to throw one for your friend who hates surprises, hates attention on them. Don't do that. Don't throw a surprise party for someone who doesn't want it. They want to be treated differently than you want to be treated, and it's such an empathetic statement and something that I've lived by every single day.
I just love that platinum rule. That will stick with me.
Right, just a step up from golden.
Yeah.
I like that. And we want to know what your mom taught you. Did your mom tell it like it was, or was she more subtle in the ways that she shaped your worldview? How did the method that she chose affect the way you accepted or maybe even rejected the lessons that she tried to teach you? And how old were you when you received that critical, important lesson from your mom? Is it one of your earliest memories? Or, like some of us, did it take you until well into your adulthood to realize what your mom could teach you? Tell us about it. You can email ideas@wpr.org, tweet us at WPR Mornings, or use the phone. Call 800-642-1234.
And here's another voice from WPR just outside this glass door, Dom Johnson. His mom stressed the importance of an ancient virtue.
My mother has taught me patience. I've always been kind of like an active go-getter, so anytime I see something I want, I have a tendency to rush into things, and mothers being mothers, she kind of just told me to slow my roll and check all the options that I have available before I make a decision. So I think that's a good some solid motherly tutelage going on there.
I love the cool your heels part.
Right. There are a few people like mom who can rein you in and say, hang on just a second, check out all of your options, don't get too far ahead of yourself, because we have a tendency to do that.
Where are we going next?
A few people on campus here at UW-Madison we were able to talk to, and they said that their moms have given them some lessons that are very to the point, but they ring true. So here are some short and sweet opportunities for motherly advice.
My mom taught me always, well, if you have nothing nice to say, say nothing at all. My mother taught me to stay away from strangers and get good grades in school.
And then one man on campus our producers talked to said his mom inspired his cooking career, but probably not in the way she expected.
She understood and really conveyed to us that work was...
Oh, sorry. Let's try that one again. We don't have that one. Well, she started my cooking career. She always cooked food I didn't eat, refused to eat, and I hated, that I still hate to this day. Tuna casserole, tater tot casserole was big when I was a kid. She taught me how to, and that sticks with me, is that I don't cook it or I don't eat those things now. So there are some takeaways there of shedding things that didn't go well.
Right, absolutely. Lessons don't always have a positive spin. So maybe your mom taught you how not to do something and you're genuinely grateful for that. Or maybe you learned from her in a really difficult time. How does that change the way you look at the world? Give us a call at 800-642-1234.
Let's go to Ken now, joining us from Wheeler. Hi, Ken.
Hi there. I just tuned in your show, and I had to tell you a story about my mother. We lived in a neighborhood that was all white, and a black couple moved in, and the neighborhood was kind of a buzz about it. Well, my mom and the other moms in the area, they used to get together every week at a different person's house for play dice and drink coffee, whatever. Anyway, it was my mother's turn to host, and a couple of the ladies called her up and said, "You're not inviting that black woman, are you?" Well, my mom did, and it left a big impression. The white ladies didn't show up, and my mom and the black lady had some time together.
Ken, how did that experience make you feel? And surely you were at a young age there.
Yeah, I was about 14, and it left a lifelong impression with me. She always taught by her actions and her thoughts and sympathy for other people and racial justice.
Oh, Ken, thank you so much for those words and for sharing that story. Let's go to Tim now. Oh, I'm sorry. Tim just dropped. Well, back to you, Keely.
I do want to say something about what Ken told us, and that's that, you could see that confrontation, right, between the two women, and that his mom could have said, I'm going to set you straight and I'm going to do it right here and use all of those words. And instead of using those words, she chose to do what was right. And I think that's something that we also overlook when it comes to moms, is that sometimes you don't need to hear a lot. All you have to do is watch.
Mothers can be our true north. They keep us grounded. They can be our biggest fan. We're hearing from you on the wisdom that has been passed down to you at 800-642-1234. You can send it in an email to ideas@wpr.org. Tweet us at WPR Mornings. We'll get back to moms in just a moment here on the Ideas Network.
When my son may have been 5 years old, my mother would pick him up all the time and feed him. And I went to her once a month, and she would cook for me. So one day I went to her house, and she'd cooked red rice, which I loved. After we finished eating, we walked down the hill, and she started across the street. She said, "Wait a minute, baby." I was 22 years old. She said, "Wait a minute, baby. You know, I think you're the greatest woman I've ever met." She said, "Mary McLeod Bethune, Eleanor Roosevelt, and my mother, you're in that category." Then she said, "Give me a kiss." I gave her a kiss, and I got onto the streetcar. I can remember the way the sun fell on the slats of the wooden seats. I sat there, and I thought about her. I thought, suppose she's right. She's intelligent. And she says she's too mean to lie. So suppose I am going to be somebody. She released me. She freed me to say I may have something in me that would be of value. Maybe not just to me. See? That's love.
And that's poet Maya Angelou reflecting on her mother. We're exploring the gift of what mothers bring, the wisdom they impart here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and producer Keely Baltina is here in the studio as we explore so many responses to this question about moms. Keely, where do we go next?
Let's bring the conversation back to Wisconsin. Here are two university students whose moms inspire them to persevere and to love.
I mean, I always got like life lesson stories about like how like she lived, or before she lived in Ghana, and like how like in order to like achieve what you wanted, she used to walk miles to go to school, and like right now I complain about, you know, not getting rides to school, or like complain about going up Bascom, and like she just always tells me that like for your education you just gotta do what you got to do, stop complaining, and just go about it.
I guess just by example, my mom has taught me how to be super persistent, and she just like cares about our family so fiercely. So I feel like that's just a really strong thing I've learned from her.
I love that word, fiercely. Mm-hmm. I know it's kind of a buzzword in the last several years, but that's how lots of moms operate. They are just fierce in what they do.
Let's bring in Josie now in Madison with thoughts on moms. Josie, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say thanks. I think this is a great program. My mom and I have been best friends since birth. I mean, she's always been my person. And actually, we just bought a house, so I can live a block away from her.
Oh, how fabulous.
Yeah, it's going to be wonderful. But I was always a really driven kid. I was a straight-A student and leaders in clubs, and I always just felt this pressure to perform. And so much of that was, I think, to impress my mom. So sometimes as a teen, I felt really resentful of this pressure. And she always said, Josie, I'm going to be proud of you. Anything you do, unless you're not kind, that will be the only time in your life that I will not be proud of you. And so I had two babies in 2 years. My son is 4 and my daughter is 2. And I made the tough decision when my daughter was born to leave my career because I wanted to be a mom, and society really puts a lot of pressure on you as a woman to have a career and be a mom and do it all, and I wasn't happy. And she said, of course you can do that. It doesn't matter. You're not just a mom. You are a mom, and that is something to be proud of. And it's been the best decision I could have ever made for me and for my kids. And the fact that she is so proud of me just for being who I am and being kind and being a good mom has been huge.
Oh, Josie, so eloquently said. Thank you so much for bringing your story. That's so lovely. I like tears in my eyes.
The honesty and the willingness to admit that this person means so much and has given you so much. Sometimes that vulnerability is really difficult, but moms bring that out.
Let's go to Helen now, joining us from Little Chute. Hi, Helen.
Well, good morning. Thank you for the topic. My mother was, I could spend an hour talking about how unique she was, and she was my best friend. Sadly, she's passed away. But mother and dad had 4 boys and 2 girls, and my 4 brothers were all educated because of the GI Bill from the military. When it was time for me to go to college, being a girl, mother said she decided to get an evening night shift job as a nurse's aide and to pay for my education because she believed in equality for all of her children. And what's special for me is today is her birthday. And as you heard me say, she's deceased. She lives in my heart. I look at her picture when I need an inspiration, and I always get a lift. And the last thing I want to say is because I have a daughter and a granddaughter, if they would sometimes listen to the wisdom of their mothers and grandmothers, they would get so far ahead in life, because too often these young people just want to kind of do their own thing and they make a lot of mistakes that could be avoided. But again, thank you for the topic, and I'm blessed because I have a phenomenal mother.
Oh, Helen, thank you for contributing, and happy birthday to your mother. Let's go to Doris now in Burlington. Hi, Doris.
Hi.
Go ahead.
I had called because I had told the gal I was talking to that I had learned to listen to what children have to say, because when I was 13, just barely, my father had died, and my mother was from North Dakota. We lived in Chicago, and she was debating. She hadn't really worked outside the home since she was 18, and she was only in her early 30s. So she was like, you know, I think maybe I should move back to North Dakota. And we have family there, and we didn't really have any in Chicago. And she said, what do you think about that? I was impressed that she actually asked me. And I said, if we go to North Dakota, I will be a really good kid, and I will study and do everything I need to do, and it won't be any problem. But I'm sure that when I get to be 18 or 19 and I'm ready for college, I will probably come back to Chicago. So she listened to me, and we stayed in Chicago. She ended up remarrying, and I became a teacher for 43 years. So learning to listen to kids and what they had to say was an important part of my career.
Oh, Doris, that's really lovely, and we share a common bond there. My mother is from North Dakota as well.
Hey, I'm from South Dakota originally, so representing the Dakotas here in our mom conversation. That's wonderful. And I love the idea that your mom listened to you, not just let you talk and gave you space to talk, but actually listened and took that into account when making decisions, because there's a difference between hearing your kids and listening to them.
That is so true. Tim in Madison, go ahead. Hi, Tim.
Hi, yes. My favorite saying and life lesson that I ever got from my mother was that I am no better than anybody here, but I'm as good as anybody here. And that really has was a life lesson well learned by all of the kids, and to show you what a fantastic and open and loving person she was, all five of us, whenever we get together, will argue that Mom loved me best.
How have you lived that saying, Tim?
I went on to become a nurse, and also I married my high school sweetheart 40 years ago, and so with all the trials and tribulations and the ups and downs of work and relationship, you just simply try to recall that saying of my mother's, and it kind of puts you in your place.
Right, but it doesn't put you down either, and that's why I think that's particularly striking, because it reminds you that you are as good as everyone else, and you don't have to feel like you're better or worse.
And to show you the results of somebody who lives that kind of life, like my mother did, she was a stay-at-home mom, and she wasn't a joiner, and she rarely, if ever, even got in her car and went anywhere. But yet, when she died, our church that holds 400 people had a line outside waiting to get in for her funeral.
Mm. Oh,
so that was a very, very nice fitting thing, a farewell for her.
Tim, thank you so much for bringing her saying to us. Let's go to Alan now in Verona. Hi, Alan.
Hello, good morning. I just caught kind of the tail end of all this, and I thought I had to call and share just a little bit about my mom and the impact in our family. So we grew up on a dairy farm, and there's two boys and six sisters, and you always took leadership kind of from your father figure, of course. But after my dad passed away here like 10 years ago now, we really looked to my mom for this silent leadership that was amazing. I mean, we noticed it. When we were growing up, we lived on a dairy farm, but she also was a nursing assistant at a senior center, or a nursing home, I'll say.
So she had really have a hand in the family business.
Well, she did. I mean, you know, she did everything all day long, and then she would go in the afternoons and work early evening at this nursing home in Verona, and it just that leadership, you know, and the other thing I have to say is, like, I have six sisters that are just so independent, you know, kind of strong-willed and independently, independent minds. And it's just, it's really, I've benefited from that because you see that, you know, as a male, you see that that's appropriate. You know, there's women out there that are just very strong and great leaders.
Alan, thank you so much for that. I love that you help us better understand that moms aren't just great role models for their girls. They're also great role models for their boys.
Let's go to Regan now in Madison. Regan, hi.
Hi there. I just wanted to tell you about my mom. I'm one of nine kids, right in the middle, four older, four younger than me. And so you would think that this mom would be incredibly busy, and she was. But the thing is that I volunteered her for every field trip, Girl Scouts, school, whatever, and she always did it. And she never complained, and she never said, how can I do it for you when I've got eight other kids? She just did it, and I just was always so proud of her.
Oh, that's really lovely. Thank you so much for contributing that. And Cynthia Woodland's mother was never afraid to speak her mind. Cynthia, who works at WPR, is here talking about her mom's truth-telling.
My mother was great with one-liners. So I have my favorite one-liners. One is, you've got to take you with you wherever you go. And another one was, all you have to do is remember who you are. And then I have some funny stories because it's just the way it is. But one time my mom and I were shoe shopping, and she's one of those ladies that has heels and purses to match, possibly hats to match, and so, you know, kind of a snazzy dresser. And so we were shoe shopping together, and I tried on this pair of really high stiletto heels. They were red ankle strap. And I put them on, and my mom was like, oh, those are so cute. And I said, but Mom, I can't walk. And she said, you don't need to walk. You just need to sit in the chair, cross your legs, and smile. And that just taught me so much about my mother, mainly because it seemed so racy for my mom. I mean, she raised us in church and, you know, no cussing, no swearing, no drinking, no, you know. To me, that was a really racy comment. And then there was another time where I was at work here, and I think I was having a bad hair day, and I put on this hat that I thought was stylish with African fabric on it. And so she showed up from out of town and had her little suitcase and met me in the lobby here, and she said, what is wrong? And I said, what do you mean? She said, and she kind of looked at my hat, and I said, well, I'm having a bad hair day. And she said, well, you're making it worse. And so that wasn't fun. But that's my mom.
Keeping it real. Thank you to everyone who shared about their mothers. It is inspiring. It's heartfelt. Advice to keep in the back pocket. Keely Boltina, producer here on The Morning Show, thank you so much for taking the time.
You're welcome, Kate.
And we started the hour with Tyra Banks and her new book that she wrote with her mom, Perfect is Boring. This hour was produced by Nyasia Ellison, Brianne Chasso, Keely Colleen Leahy, Chris Molina, and Michael Derringer. Michelle Johnson is executive producer. I'm Kate Archer Kent, and Mom's Wisdom Flows right here on the Ideas Network. Thanks so much for listening.
Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said equality was not just about race, it was also about poverty. Dr. King was advocating for the poor when he was killed in Memphis. I'm Joshua Johnson. 50 years after his death, how do we fight best for those who have the least? And who will lead this fight today? Next time on 1A from WAMU and NPR. Join me this afternoon at 1 here on the Ideas Network.